Hi guys, welcome back to our podcast Against the Night. Hi Kelsey, what are you going to tell me today?
Hi Tara, I have a unsolved mystery for you.
Unsolved.
Are you ready?
So no prosecution, no resolution. You're just gonna.
I'm just gonna throw it at you, and you're gonna be pissed, and that's all I've got for you.
Okay, all right, I'm ready to be pissed.
I'm gonna start this by giving a little warning. This episode might be a little rough. There's a little bit of graphic content. I'm gonna. Be happening.
Talking about our as rough as our last episode?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I
just need to prepare. I don't know how to prepare myself.
It's gonna be more like bodily harm and not necessarily sexual harm. Assault. Yeah.
Okay. Like not like that's better. I mean, but like
one of them we're probably a little bit more desensitized to than the other.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll just get
jump right in there, man.
Jump right in. On March 26, 2000, in Lufkin, Texas, residents of the Fox Run Apartments called the local fire department. There was smoke coming out from one of the apartments.
And what state is this in?
Texas.
Okay.
The fire department arrives, and shortly after, they find that the source of the fire is coming from the bedroom of this apartment. Inside, they quickly run in, put out the fire, and found the charred remains of 26-year-old Megan Curl.
Oh.
Yikes. Some backstory about Megan. At the age of 18, she got married and she moved to Arkansas, but the marriage didn't last because her husband at the time, was named Tim Purvis. He was abusive and the two shortly separated after getting married. And at the time, Megan ended up moving back to Texas. So Megan was also diagnosed as a child as being mildly mentally disabled. She had some like learning disabilities and she was just had a little bit of harder time.
Sorry to interrupt. Does it say like intellectually disabled or does it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So she was intellectually disabled. She wasn't just, it wasn't like she had ADD and ADHD or something like that. It was something more than that. Okay.
Yeah, she was, I just said that she was mildly mentally disabled. Her mother noted that she was really outgoing, but she was also naive because of this.
It's usually a characteristic, yeah.
Yeah. And so her mom felt like that men generally took advantage of her because of this, and she was also really lonely.
Mm.
And she told men that she was lonely.
Mm-hmm.
So, but aside from that, Megan was able to live on her own. She really liked to go out and have fun. And most weekends, she was out dancing at local clubs and bars. Because she really liked to dance. Like all of her friends said that she loved to be out and having fun. On the night of her murder, she was at a club called the Electric Cowboy. While she was here, she was seen with a man who was buying her drinks. According to one of my sources, someone said that it seemed like the two of them were arguing. Another source said that the guy that she was seen with was not the guy who was mentioned later on in the story. So there's conflicting evidence between some of my sources. Eventually, after being at the Electric Cowboy, Megan left to go down the street to a different bar that she frequented a lot. Some people said that she was kicked out of the Electric Cowboy for dancing a little bit too promiscuously. I don't know about all that. But the bar that she went to, this was a place where a lot of the employees knew her, and she ended up getting a ride home from one of the bouncers. He, like, took her back to her apartment.
Aw, good guy bouncer.
Good guy bouncer. So she arrived home around 1:30 a.m. She stood outside and she talked with her neighbor about her night. Because they frequently did this. As the two were having this conversation, a dark-colored car came speeding into the parking lot of the apartment building. Megan went down and got in the car with this person, and her neighbor went back inside of her apartment to grab a snack. When she came back outside, Megan and the driver of the car were inside of Megan's apartment. After about an hour, the neighbor became worried and decided to go check on Megan and knocked on her door. Because she was like, first of all, this guy's came speeding in here. Like, he's gonna hurt somebody. And when this happened, Megan was like, oh, I think I know him. And she goes down and she gets in the car with this guy. And so the neighbor's like, okay, whatever, I'm hungry. And goes inside, gets a snack.
Relatable.
But when she came out, she noticed that neither of them were still in the car. And she was like, feels a little weird. So she waited and waited. So after an hour, she's like, they're probably in Megan's apartment. So she goes and knocks on the door. When Megan answered the door, she was inside with a man that was described as being a white male with blonde hair, a light-colored mustache, and gold-rimmed glasses. The neighbor asked if everything was okay, and Megan said it was fine and it was just her friend from the club. This was the last time Megan was seen alive.
Ooh.
Ooh. A few hours later, the fire, you know, the neighbors called because there was smoke coming from this apartment. The fire was put out and Megan's body was found. She was found bound to the bed with a belt and pantyhose. She had been gagged and tortured. She also had her neck cut twice all the way to the bone.
Jesus. Talk about overkill and then torture whole apartment. All right.
She was also found with a pillowcase and a bag over her head. So it was possible that she was strangled during this time.
Why would you even need a strangler after all that? You know what I mean?
Exactly. It's also like, was the strangulation before or after the neck was cut?
Well, it depends on how much blood was there. It doesn't say, does it?
Well, there was fire.
Oh, that's true. Would it just... Yeah.
That would have made a little bit of a...
little bit of a difficult...
problem. Yeah. She was also found wearing a nightgown, which was not her usual sleeping attire, according to previous partners. She usually slept in a t-shirt and shorts, unless she was planning on having an intimate night with somebody. So it is possible that she had known her attacker enough to want to have a romantic night with them. But there's also speculation that this is something that her mother might have perpetrated because she didn't want to believe that her daughter would sleep with someone she didn't know very well. But when we think about the fact that Megan also was considered a little bit more naive because she may have had some sort of mental delay, it is possible.
Psychologically, like, if you're in any way mentally handicapped, it's usually, there's usually a correlation with promiscuity.
Yes.
So, and it's not like a bad thing, but it's just something that is maybe a little bit more dangerous because you might not be as careful because you're not as aware.
Exactly.
So.
And she was also known for, like, she felt very lonely, yeah, too. That could also make her want to seek out some sort of, like, deeper
companionship.
Yeah. Yeah.
And think that they care about her, and then, like, that's correlates with caring about her,
yeah,
you know? And with the way she said, this is of someone I know from the club, it really could have just been any guy that she met at the club.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
The first suspect was obviously her ex-husband, Tim Purvis. He was released from prison about a week prior to her murder, and she had previously testified that he was abusive, which was resulted in his parole being revoked. But he supposedly had an alibi for the night that Megan was killed, although I really wasn't able... Excuse you. I wasn't able to find, like, what the alibi was. It was just they were all like, oh, yeah, an alibi. Okay.
Usually if an alibi is that good, he needs to have several reputable people that can be like, oh yeah, he was here at this time, I can show you this, and that says, like, this receipt or something.
Exactly. You know what I mean? I would imagine that they would have a picture of him and they would take him to the neighbor and be like, is this the guy that you saw with Megan? So I could, yeah, see how that could be ruled out.
Yeah.
To this day, this is unsolved, and one source said that the police believe they know who the murderer is, but they don't have enough evidence to actually pursue an arrest.
Oh, that's so frustrating.
I know. It's bizarre. But I also have theories.
Okay, did they say at all? Were the hint?
Nope.
Who they think it is? They just, I bet they can't.
They
legally.
Can't. They have sketches, like a sketch artist did sketches of what they believe that he looked like. But they obviously don't have enough evidence, so they don't really want to talk about who they think it is, because if they were able to find evidence. You have any other thoughts, or are we ready to move on to some theories?
Yes, I want to hear the theories.
Okay. The first theory that I have is Megan could have been murdered by one of her previous partners. This is supported by what she was wearing at the time of the murder. Like I previously stated, she didn't usually wear this to bed unless she was planning sleeping with someone. But the theory doesn't necessarily hold a lot of credibility based on that fact alone. If she was murdered by a previous partner, it would have been easier to find this person and, like, connect the dots to, like, who murdered her.
Yeah.
That's the first theory that I have that doesn't have a lot of evidence to support it other than just her attire at the time of the death.
1 to 10, I'd give that like a 3.
I give that like a 1.5. I see how this was a theory.
Yeah.
But if it was a theory, it would have been connected pretty easily.
Yeah.
Another theory, and this is one that I lean towards because I always tell you which one I feel like I flow with a little bit better, is the person who murdered Megan was someone from out of town.
Now, like a drifter?
Like a drifter. If we assume that this man was seen in her apartment the night she died and was her murderer, he was really bold to have been seen in full view. By the neighbor. If he was from a different city or even a different state, he would know it would have been really hard for authorities to find him. And if we think about the fact that the neighbor saw him, if he had been planning to, like, murder Megan or commit some sort of crime, he probably wouldn't have done it knowing that she saw him. The neighbor also said that the man never said a word and only nodded his head when she asked if everything was okay. Now, I think that this could be because he had a recognizable accent.
Oh.
Yeah. Which could lead to him being found. So
the region he was from. Yeah.
Exactly. So if they're in Texas and my guy was from, like, New York or something and he opened his mouth.
Or if he was from Canada. Or if he was just from another part of the South. You know what I mean?
Yeah. With a different dialect, yeah. Now, here's where this theory also falls through just a little bit. If he was from out of town and knew it would be hard to find him, why would he set the fire? Other than trying to destroy evidence, obviously.
I was gonna say.
By setting the fire, it immediately would draw law enforcement to Megan's body, which would give him very little time to make his escape.
But the thing is they have no means of tracking him. His escape would be unhindered anyway. You know what I mean? As long as he was an hour ahead of the police, you know, yeah, in any direction, he'd be pretty much fine. Because,
yeah.
If the neighbor had, I mean, you said it was, like, in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
So, like, it,
I think they said it was, like, 4 a.m.
I don't blame her at all. But if the neighbor had had maybe the foresight to get the license plate number, now that would be amazing. Or see the state the license plate was from. Also, if Megan said, oh, I know him, or I know that, what did she say? I know him or I know that car. She said one of the two.
I think I know that guy.
I think I
know
something
along the lines of that.
Well, then, if she said, I know that car, then it would be like she probably knows him for more than just, like, a night.
Yeah.
You know? But I kind of give the drifter theory a little bit more credibility than at least the last theory, just because he couldn't have hung around. You know what I mean?
And it also supports, like, why he didn't say anything,
mm-hmm.
I feel like.
Yeah.
Because obviously if you have a very recognizable accent, that's going to place you. Or even if it was, like, you know how when they have lineups and they have people repeat things? If he doesn't say anything, he can't repeat something for the neighbor to pinpoint, you know? So,
yeah, I always think of, like, the Ted Bundy lineup where he's like, if you say anything or if you scream, I'm gonna kill you. And it's like, just
gives me the ew. Yikes.
Did you have any more theories?
Yes, I have one more.
Okay,
right. I have a final theory for you. It was that it was possibly the work of a serial killer.
Now, what makes them say that?
So, speculation is, if this was a serial killer, that Megan was stalked and followed before her death. Because a lot of serial killers are noted for doing that. They find a target, they follow them, they take note of their schedule, they notice any sort of, like, insecurities that they have in some cases, or just, like, any sort of, like, falter in their personality. So they would be able to tell that Megan was trusting, naive. This serial killer would have sized Megan up and see how kind and trusting she was before making her his target. I say his because we're speculating that it was the man that was in her apartment. This could also make sense on why the killer set a fire, because a lot of serial killers really enjoy making a spectacle of their crimes, and this would obviously create attention around her death.
The notoriety does something for them. I don't know what it is. It's like how they take trophies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some of them like to return to the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
Or they input themselves in the investigation.
Mm-hmm. Somehow. Which is very incriminating in how a lot of them get caught.
Exactly. It's like very stupid. Yeah. It's like you would try to, like, if you killed somebody, like, would you not want to be the farthest from that situation?
Away from that entire, yeah, situation that you could be. My thing is, like, the best killers we don't know about.
Exactly.
And, yeah, and the ones that I've always thought that, like, if you were just some random, like, me or you,
uh-huh.
and saw another random on a street that we had no idea and we killed them, we'd be the last person to...
Exactly.
Because you have no strings. There's no strings attached.
Absolutely.
And those are the ones that I think probably have happened at least several hundreds of times. And that's why we have so many unsolved missing cases, like the ones we cover.
Exactly.
Because, and it very well could be a case with this, but I don't know.
If we back up to the serial killer situation, he wanted to create attention on her death. It could also show why he was so confident to get away in time before the authorities showed up.
Yeah.
Because if he's a serial killer, he may have done this before. He's done this
before.
He's confident in his procedures, I guess.
Now, this is something that gets a little bit in depth. Have the jurisdictions, the police jurisdictions, have there been arson-related murders?
See, all of the things that I have in my theories are based on speculation across the internet and just internet sleuths trying to figure out what to do or, like, where this could have come from.
Because so there's no actual factual evidence it's based on. Okay.
Because that's how, like, tight-lipped the police have been.
Got it.
They're just... The most that we have gotten from the police is, this is the meanest thing that I've ever seen somebody do to someone else, is what the sheriff said. And then... We believe we know who did this, but we don't have the evidence to convict them.
I know to a certain extent they have to, like, legislatively be tight-lipped, and I get it.
Yeah.
But, in if the case is, how many years has this been cold now?
This happened in, I believe it was 2000.
Ugh.
Yes, 2000.
20 years ago. Yes. At this point, I mean, Don't tell the guy's name that you think is guilty or whatever, because mm-hmm. that's not legal in any regard. But you gotta let the public in on something, because they gotta know more than they're letting on. You know exactly. what I mean? And this is not going to get solved on whatever they're doing, because it's taken 20 years.
Exactly. My part of me feels like the fact that they say that they think that they know who it is and they don't have the evidence to convict them mm-hmm. makes me feel like it's somebody outside of the community, because if it was somebody within their community, they would want to warn other people. So if it was somebody outside, they're kind of like, can't do anything about it. You know what I mean?
That there's a lot of legal footwork that you have to do to, like, you actually have to communicate with another jurisdiction of police and be like, you need to look out for this guy, and then they have to have enough evidence to arrest that guy. And it's a bunch of legwork.
Exactly. If it was a serial killer, wouldn't the description and the sketch have led to an arrest? Because if we think about the fact
you'd think, yeah.
Yeah. Serial killers, obviously, they're serial killers because they've committed multiple murders. So in some of these cases, you would think that somebody had seen them at some point and just connected the dots based off of descriptions. So that's kind of how that one falls through. I think part of me feels like the serial killer line is just something that people kind of, like, everybody finds serial killers fascinating. And it's kind of like this romanticized sort of idea.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to connect everything to serial killers mm-hmm, mm-hmm. because it's just, like, such an off-the-wall.
It's kind of like if something unexplainable happens, everyone wants to think it's something paranormal. You know what I mean? Something spiritual, something, you know, something like that. And it's kind of like, it doesn't have to be a serial killer. You know, it could just be an isolated event.
Exactly.
But I think people get caught on the bandwagon with that one. But, you know, you don't know.
Exactly.
And that's the romantic part of it, is you get caught up in it, and you're like, oh, but it could be.
Exactly. Because there's those weirdos out there that are, like, oddly drawn to serial killers. Like,
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, teenagers who, like, sexualize.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Ted Bundy.
Like, Bundy had groupies. Like, groupies.
Yeah. Like, First of all, he committed heinous crimes. Second of all, Home Slice had a unibrow. What part of that is enticing?
What was she, 12 years old? What part of assaulting a 12-year-old girl is enticing to you?
Yikes.
I have so many issues with him. I have so many issues with anyone who thinks that serial killers are cute.
Exactly.
Get out of my face. What is that?
Yikes.
Yikes.
So, let's reel it back in for a second. Overall, the death of Megan Curl is very sad and unnecessary, but I think sharing her story can also provide a segue in just discussing how quickly we are to trust people.
Mm. Yeah, you know, yikes. I've noticed that in myself, too. And I wouldn't say I'm the most naive person in the world, but I'm kind of naive sometimes. I think everyone can.
Exactly. To an extent. Because you want to believe that other people are... have normal? Some sort of empathy and, you know, normal, exactly.
You don't want to think that you want to think that to the extent that I don't have harmful intentions for anyone I meet.
Exactly.
So why would I think that anyone else does? You know exactly. What I mean? And it's kind of horrible that you have to assume that people have bad intentions to keep yourself safe.
It's so sad.
It's very sad. It shouldn't be that way, but it is.
Exactly. And I'm in no way victim blaming or saying that she, like, deserved what happened to her because she was trusting.
Yeah, no.
Obviously. It's honestly really disappointing that we can't be as trusting as Megan, but I believe that we can use this as an example to be a little bit more cautious of the world around us. Especially today when we have so much access to technology that can make it easier for gross people to prey on other people.
That's a good label. Gross.
Yeah, they're gross.
They're gross. You know, what else do you call them? They're gross.
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 You're nasty.
You're nasty.
I know, as everyone's sick of hearing, be careful on the internet. Be careful of Tinder and Uber. But seriously, though, like...
It pays to be a little paranoid.
Exactly.
A little bit, you know?
Because I'd rather be paranoid than be dead.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
You know? But what I'm saying is, just constantly be aware of your surroundings. Like, seriously. Don't trust anyone, and if the situation feels weird, it probably is weird. Just get out. It's fine.
My thing is just always listen to your stomach. Always listen to your gut.
Exactly.
Because your intuition's gonna tell you before your brain tells you.
Yeah.
Your intuition is your brain. But, like, before you're cognizantly aware, oh, this is probably bad. You know,
this feels weird.
This feels bad. Something doesn't feel right. And then I don't even care. I don't care if it's the. I don't care if he's handsome. I don't care. I don't care if he's good looking. I don't care if you haven't slept with someone in 15 months. I don't care if you never slept with someone. I don't care if he asked you on date when you had the worst day in the world. But if you're getting red flags, you need to stop. You need to reassess. You need to go home.
Exactly.
You cuddle a cat.
Kind of like that.
And make everything
better. Unless you're allergic.
I mean, I'm allergic and it still helps. But if you're allergic, you're allergic and your throat will close. So don't cuddle a cat. No. Cuddle,
Just take a nap.
Just sleep.
Yeah.
Take a good old sleep.
When in doubt, just take a nap. It's fine. It's just like turning your brain off for a few hours.
Shout out to my friend Brandy. That is her philosophy.
Hey, I am on board with Brandy. I will join the nap squad.
Nap squad.
Whenever there's an issue that I don't want to deal with, take a nap. It's cool. It's fine.
I'm texting her right now. Feel like hashtag nap squad.
Hashtag nap squad. At 11:45 at night.
She's gonna be up. Oh, well, she is an English teacher now. I don't know. Continue.
Oh, that's all that I've got for you.
How dare you?
Obviously, it's unsolved. We have no conclusion. We're all gonna be unsatisfied and pissed off because we don't know what happened, but...
I'm baffled with this one, just because this one is also scant on the details, you know what I mean? And I think it's because of how tight-lipped the police have been about it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that contributes heavily to why it's been cold for 20 years.
Right.
Well, I guess we don't really have a valuable conclusion to that,
nope.
So.
Nope. That's what happens when you do unsolved cases.
You gonna say it?
No, we have to do a little bit of a plug here for... I cannot focus because Sammy and his little crunching over there.
My little crunchy boy.
He go crunch.
I have a tiny rat named Sam, and he likes to fight crime. You might watch out for him on our Instagram.
Can we have Sam be our mascot?
I would love that. I mean, rats are kind of associated with death. I mean, the whole...
Like the bubonic plague?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, how can you escape that?
I mean...
It killed, like, a fourth of the world's population.
Yeah, so that seems like it's such a happy and a wonderful choice for a mascot.
Sammy is, like, literally a piece of heaven fallen on earth.
He's adorable.
He is the sweetest, best... little angel. I could not wish for a better rat. He is so cute. I can't deal with it.
So that's where I'm going to plug our Instagram. If you want to discuss with us, have any comments, questions, concerns, just want to talk to us, our Instagram is at ATNPodcast. That is ATNPodcast. And we also have a Twitter. You can also talk to us on there, and that's at ATNPod. So that's ATNPOD. And that's all I've got.
Cute theme song.
I was trying to look up a different, like a different case that I wanted to cover. And when I was, like, trying to Google it, it was pulling up all this, like, disturbing stuff. And I was like, yikes. And I was doing it on the school Wi-Fi. I was like, man, I'm going to be put on a list somewhere.